you guys do something with me? If you can stand, I want to do something. I want to mix a little old school with the new school. Is that all right? I want to read something because I've been toiling with this word probably before I even knew we were preaching. And then Pastor Joe texted me and let me know the series that we're about to go into. And I was like, man, that's God. And it is so good. And I want to read this scripture. And if you can stand with me, you don't have to, no pressure. But I just want to be an army. Is that all right? And I want to read this because I want to send the enemy in flight, because I want to communicate a word from the Spirit of God this morning. I believe it's a rhema word, is why I want us to stand. And I want you to get ready for a move of God. I want you to turn to someone and say, repeat after me, I'm in the middle. Nah, you got to say it like you mean it. Look at someone and say, I'm in the middle of a yes. We're going to go somewhere with this. I'm going to go to the word of Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel in chapter 37. I want you to get this. And it reads like this. The Lord took hold of me. When I read that at home, I was like, you too? It was awesome. Follow me on this. It said, the Lord took hold of me. And I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? Oh, sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. He said, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. Receive that. He said, I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. You receive that? I want to go further. It says this in verse 7. It says, so I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together, attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then, as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but still, pay attention to that, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds. That means the winds from the north, south, east, and the west. He says, speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds. He says, breathe into these dead bodies so that may live again. Now, in this one, I'm going to read from the Message Bible, because I believe that sometimes you have to go PG-13, that you have to get into the grit of what God is really trying to say. And what he said here, he says, so I prophesied just as he commanded me. The breath entered them and they came alive. They stood up on their feet, a huge army. Then God said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Listen to what they are saying. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. There's nothing left for us. But listen to the response. He said, therefore prophesy and tell them, God the Master says, I'll dig up your graves and bring you out alive, oh my people. Then he said, I'll take you straight to the land of Israel. And when I dig up graves and bring you out as my people, you'll realize that I am God. I'll breathe my life into you and you'll live. Then I'll lead you straight back to your land and you'll realize that I am God. But he ends it like this. I've said it and I will do it. Somebody shout hallelujah as you take your seat. Come on. So as you take your seat, I want you to embrace this. Thank you, worship. Thank you so much. This narrative is sharing a vision God gave Ezekiel of a valley filled with dry bones. It paints a picture of the hopeless state which Israel found itself, being cut off from their land, their temple, and from their perspective, because of what they were going through, they saw themselves as being cut off from their God. Now, I want you to follow me on this because their situation caused them to lose hope, and they felt as though their fate had been sealed because of the circumstance. They saw it, their faith had been sealed because of the circumstance with no opportunity for restoration. Thus, in verse 11, when it read, "Our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, there is nothing left of us." But by way of God, Ezekiel is sent to give a prophetic response. A prophetic response to the hopeless situation of Israel, which is God's chosen people, and he shares the vision God gave him of a valley filled with dry bones. Now understand that this was a reminder to the people of Israel, who was God's chosen people. It was a reminder to them of who God really was in their life. They were already chosen, yet they still needed a reminder. See, this prophetic word was a prediction of a resurrection and a restoration of God's chosen people that was to come. Now, this was also a message of deliverance about to take place and a reinstatement of God's chosen people. But because of their loss of hope, their limit of trust in God, they could not place their eyes on the victory to come. Without a thought of it, they were in the middle of a yes. Now, if you follow me on this, when you come into the likeness and character of Christ, you are then positioned to not fight for victory, but actually to fight from a place of victory, from a position of victory, not on defense, but on offense. Thus, when I am in a struggle, I'm just in the middle of a yes, because God said that victory shall be mine. This is where I'm going. So I want to give you a disclaimer this morning as we go through this. And it states like this: no more retreating, but let's run towards the giant. No more retreating. Because often, come on, you can go ahead and say a hallelujah for that if you receive that. Somebody got it. No more retreating. No more accepting defeat, but we're going to run towards the giant. Because listen, often the best version of ourselves is found or exposed in the middle of opposition. We cannot continue to see opposition as the failure or absence of victory, but actually see it as being in the middle of a yes, thus having victory already. Because during the time of a struggle, faith will allow God, not us, but our faith will allow God to bring heaven into our situations. Do you get that? I want you to, somebody just say the valley. I want to talk about something which is the valley that often offsets the confidence of a yes. Because often in the middle of a yes, the valley is actually a starting point. And how you see the valley and how you experience the valley is important. In our own lives, we find ourselves in situations that cause us to lose hope, and we end up having a valley experience. Anybody ever had a valley experience? You end up having a valley experience, and what can happen is that we can easily lose sight that the whole reason that there is a mountaintop to reach for is because of the valley. Your attitude in the valley can dictate the outcome of your victory. Depending on how you see it, how you experience it, your attitude, how we think, your perspective, how you're looking at it in the valley can dictate the outcome of your victory. Now, God has already said yes, you're just in the middle of it. I want you to think about it. He's just awaiting your amen. See, even as people of God, we sometimes forget that when we are in the valley, it does not change the fact of this scripture. That for all God's promises, in Corinthians, for all God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. Somebody say a resounding yes. It's already been fulfilled with a resounding yes, and through Christ, our amen, which means yes. Don't miss that. Sometimes we sing it, we say, hey, God, the song, it says, all our promises is yes and amen. Well, God is saying the yes, but who's saying the amen? I want you to get that. It's yes and yes. God is saying, yes, I will do it. We're going to deal with that in a minute. But he's already did that. But he's awaiting. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. Now, I want to show you something. There is an interesting point here in this text that we read. Within Ezekiel's vision, God sits him down. We're going to deal with this valley. God sits him down in a valley of dry bones. Now, he's God, and he could have sat him on a mountaintop and gave him a beautiful scenic view of the deliverance to come. But he chose to sit him in a valley. I want you to think about that. Everyone sees the mountaintop as a place of success, that we've arrived, we broke through. Or sometimes we see the mountaintop as that's where the fruit is. But I want to share with you, I want to bless you, that fruit actually grows in the valley. It doesn't grow on the mountaintop. It actually grows in the valley. And actually, the purpose of the valley is to produce fruit. Maybe that's why they call it produce. I don't know, but I was in the grocery store, and I was in the produce section, and I was prepared for this message. I was like, wait a minute. But fruit actually grows in the valley. The late Billy Graham said, he said a quote, and it goes like this. He said, mountains are for views and inspiration, but fruit is grown in the valleys. I want you to get this, because this is important to understanding that we are in the middle, or you are in the middle of a yes, no matter what the situation may be. Fruit in this case is our belief, our character makeup, our trusting in God in the midst of. But by God showing us a valley, understand, it not only exposes us to his ability to deliver us, but it also presents us with a challenge for us to trust that he can and will do it. Now, I want to show you something. If you notice in the scripture text when God shared through Ezekiel what he would do, he ended with, then you will know that I am God. Then you will know that I am the Lord. See, to be honest, we don't like valleys. If we really be honest, we don't. No one is saying, hey, Lord, please give me a valley in the morning because I want to get better. No one is soliciting valleys. That's not something that we're going to do because we love peaceful, you know, sceneries. We love comfort. We love the life of a hammock and lemonade. I heard a pastor say we love comfort food. That's why we love it. But if you think of this way, how many people some people sometimes find great comfort in settling? A great comfort in that settling, then it will begin to assist you to then be comfortable with defeat sometimes. And it will cause you to remain there with the thought that God is going to show up and he's going to do it all. That's not what's going to happen. I believe the reason our minds sometimes can work that way when we're in the valley is because we may have peace confused. See, peace doesn't mean sit back and relax and everything is just going well and do nothing. But peace, it means seeking and trusting God while you're doing. Can I put it another way? Sometimes what you believe you're not capable of, sometimes what you believe that what's not possible, you have to trust God and you have to continue to walk and do it anyway. In other words, you have to do it afraid. You can't see it. It's hard for you to trust it, but you have to do it scared. Because peace in itself, peace, I'll say it like this. Peace is comfort, but with adventure. See, yes, it's a comfort in it, but I'll get there. Because in the valley, you've already been called out on the water, but now do you have the faith to keep your eyes on him? I'll share a familiar story. Remember the story when God called Peter out on the water? If you notice, he gave a command. They followed it. They started across the water. And the water was calm while Peter was in the boat. But when God called Peter to his next season, when God began to call Peter to his next level, to his next step, and Peter stepped out, that is when the water became boisterous. It doesn't mean that it wasn't peaceful. But it was peaceful with adventure. Because when God calls you to a different place, it doesn't mean that you don't have peace. It doesn't feel like it, right? Anyone took on a new job or knew something that God called you to and like, Lord, why did you bless me with this? And you start thinking that, wait a minute, this is not a blessing from the Lord. This is the enemy. We start feeling that way, and we don't realize what's happening. But when he called Peter to his next season, the water became boisterous. That's why I said that faith is not a place of comfort, but it is a place of peace with adventure. When you think about faith, that's what it is. It is stepping out into the unknown while trusting God for his promises. It is trusting him at his promise. And although you're afraid and question yourself and say, hey, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I don't have all the words. Maybe I don't have all the gifting. Maybe I don't have all the talent. That's okay because you serve a God who is more than enough. So we have to shift our mind regarding the valley or our perspective in the valley because I'm in the middle of a yes. That's the perspective. But I want you to ask yourself this question. Can these bones live? I want you to think about any situation, whatever we war up against. Have you ever asked yourself the question in the middle of that? Even when God is calling you to your next level, your next season, have you ever asked yourself, can these bones live? Because when they were referring to the bones in this story, they're actually talking about people. The bones are representing people. And so the question is, can these bones live? When God gave this to me, it made me ask myself this question. Are you well able even with giants in your land? Will you still trust God? See, the reference to the bones is a way of referring to one's deepest self. See, when life gives you turmoil and trouble is upon the waters of your life, do not retreat to the mindset of defeat. We must understand that we belong to a chosen people. We are a chosen people, and we have to understand that we belong to God. We reside in him, and he is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We have to begin asking ourselves the question, can these bones live? This is why he asked this question to Ezekiel. He said, son of man, can these bones become living people again? What is he really asking? He's basically asking, Ezekiel, do you have enough faith in me that I will restore the bones? When we're in the middle of something, he's saying to us, do you have enough faith that I will restore my people? Do you have enough faith that I will resurrect them out of their hopeless situation? Do you believe that I will open their graves and they shall rise up? Do you believe that I will make a pathway in the wilderness? Do you believe that I will do it? That's basically what he's asking him. And Ezekiel replies and said, oh, sovereign Lord, only you know the answer to that. To me, that was Ezekiel's way, like, I don't know. only you know. His response. But think about this. I believe that God is saying to Ezekiel, well, I've already said yes, but can I get a... Amen. That's what he's waiting on. And when God asks you a question, he's bringing forth an influence for you to grab hold of your faith so he can give you the authority in and over your situation. Now, I want you to go back to the yes and the amen. Are you with me? Somebody shout hallelujah. If you go back to the yes and the amen, you can keep on getting while the getting is good, but can you have the faith in the valley to respond to God with an amen, even though you can't see the opportunity of deliverance? Do we have enough faith in the middle of it to respond, even though we can't see deliverance? Isn't it amazing? Have you ever thought about how easy it is to give God a shout of praise, or how easy it is to trust God with things that we can already see the finish line of victory? that we're closer to the victory, but it's actually the things that are beyond our reach, the things that are beyond our sight that we like, I don't know. I don't know if this can happen. But this, when God gives Ezekiel this vision and he's asking this question, he's like, I can do it. But do you believe that I can do it? In your own life, in our own lives, when we can't see the finish line, we can't see that end result, I believe he asks, hey, can these bones live? He's saying yes, but he's awaiting our amen. I want to say this to you. As you think about can these bones live, think about this. Do not allow the enemy to take your previous defeats and use them to combat your future victories. Have you ever found yourself dwelling on things that are over? And you're trying to pay attention how they're affecting you now? Yes, there are impacts of things that we go through. God may bring us through it, but we begin to focus on, I was delivered from that, but we're so focused on not falling back into that again that we're still focusing on it, so we're still stuck there. If you've ever dealt with that, that's why I'm saying this. Don't allow the enemy to do that. Don't allow him to take previous defeats, because sometimes those things that you saw as defeats were actually alignment and fruitful situations in the spirit. It was God shaping the character. It was the bones coming together in that situation. But I don't know about you. I'm not going to accept the lies of Satan, because I realize no matter what's happening, because of whose child I am, I'm just in the middle of a yes. See, in the dry places of our life, we have to learn how to speak to the bones. This is important. Because in order to speak to the bones, the first thing you have to do is grab hold of your faith. Because if you lose hold of your faith, it disrupts your alignment with Christ, and it dismisses your opportunity to gain access to your authority. Did you get that? We first have to take on and embrace our faith, because when we have faith, it brings us to in alignment with God. And when we come into alignment with God, we gain access to authority. See, the word says, so I spoke the message just as he told me. That's what this is saying. It was Ezekiel's faith in God to do what he said he would do that gave him the authority to speak to the bones. That's what we're going to have to do. Speak to our bones. Ezekiel believed in a God who brought dead things back to life and who created new things out of nothing. If you pay attention in 37, verse 4 through 6, he said, then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. He didn't say put it on Facebook, see how many comments and likes you get and responses. He didn't say put it on Instagram and find out. He didn't say have a dialogue in that way. And he didn't even ask Ezekiel to use his own words. He didn't even ask him to utilize his own words. He was basically telling him exactly what I'm telling you. And if you notice, he says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Ezekiel went exactly what God said. He said, look. And I don't know, I do this to my kids sometimes. I'm talking to them and I say, look at me. When you're speaking something and you're like, look at me, it can be with love, but it's still you taking authority. So when you see that, look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. He's making a strong statement there. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know I'm the Lord. See, Ezekiel's faith to believe this here reminds me of Abraham. The word says that Abraham became a father, not just because he was chosen by God, but he became a father because he dared to trust God to do only what he knew God could do. That's why he became a father. See, he believed in a God, like I said before, that would raise the dead to life with a word. With one word, he believed that God would make something out of nothing. And when everything was hopeless, what did Abraham do? He believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he knew he couldn't do. Abraham did not live on the basis in his life of what he knew he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. It's so important. It's so vital. And so he was made a father of a multitude of people. And then God looked at him and said, hey, you're going to have a big family. The blessing came over Abraham, not because God chose him, because God did choose him, but it was his faith that gave him access. Is anybody following me? Do you receive that? So if you're going to take authority and speak to the bones, you cannot let go of your faith. In Hebrews 10, 35 through 36, it says, do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. It says, patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. Then you will receive all that he has promised. I want you to notice something. Notice that when the bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons, I want you to notice, even with the muscles and flesh forming over the bones and then the skin formed and covered their bodies, that they still had no breath in them and they still were not standing. I want you to get that. He covered them, the bones came together, he put them back together, yet they still had no breath in them and they were not standing. Somebody say, yes is a process. See, yes is a process, and if you stop believing and speaking, if you stop speaking to the bones, you will become stuck in the middle of what God is really trying to do with your life. Now, I want to say it like this. For someone who may feel as though, you know what? I don't have a lot going on in my life. I don't have opposition. I don't have turmoil. I don't want to miss anyone in the room. I want to share something with you. You can have a life that you feel is pleasant. You can feel, hey, I have everything I need. It doesn't mean that you're where God wants you to be. It doesn't mean that you've arrived. You can still be in the middle because it's not where you're trying to go. It's where God is trying to take you. Come on. So what am I saying? Don't settle for good. You ever came out of a situation you said, you know what? I'm not where I should be, but I'm not where I was. Anybody ever heard that? I'm not where I was. Well, I don't want to stay there, especially when you serve a God who is more than enough. You have to speak the word just as he told you. We don't want to just be good, but we want to be greater than, because that's where God is trying to take us. Somebody say amen. But this is what I really want to get to, because I feel like the blessing of understanding the perspective that whether we're in opposition or we're in a place in our life and we're trying to move from point A to point B, understanding that we're in the middle of a yes is highly important. Because we can sing it, we can say all our promises are yes and amen, and we can say that, but understanding it in the midst of a storm or in the midst of a situation, I want you to understand that in order to do this and be successful in it spiritually, you cannot allow the enemy to confuse you, because graves are not gardens. And I want to take my time on this. Graves are not gardens. They both have flowers, but only one births new life. You can confuse graves with gardens. See, when God turns your graves into gardens, there is a coming out, not a staying in or even remaining where you are. So whether you're in opposition or you feel like everything is good in your life, you could have everything that you need and still be in a grave. Because you have not been awoken. That means you've been put together, all right, all the flesh, all the muscles, the skin covered, but you still have no breath. Because the relationship that God is trying to create between he and you hasn't happened to the fullest yet. He's still working at it. So you can still be in a grave and think it's a garden. I want to show you something. Sometimes in our situations, we begin to feel ourselves getting better, our bones coming together, and our skeleton is reshaped, and our flesh and our muscle and our skin is covered. We cannot stop there, or we remain in a grave situation with our body, with a body that's out of breath. Now, God is not going to reach down in your valley. He's not going to reach down in your valley and put you back together and then leave you in a grave of hopelessness. He's not going to put you together and give you direction and not see you through to the destination that he called you to. He's called you there, so he's going to assure that you arrive. But it's up to you to understand that you're in the middle of a yes, and you cannot let go of your faith or you will remain. Somebody say amen. See, he's going to bring you out greater than your circumstance. Greater than your circumstance. So don't stop because you're in the middle of a yes. He's going to turn graves. That's like, how's the song go? He's going to turn graves. I'll say it like this. He's going to turn your graves into gardens. He wants to turn your seas into highways. And he wants to turn your nothings into somethings. He's going to turn bones into armies. That's what was happening. When he stated that I'm going to breathe the breath of life in you, that's what he was doing. He said, I'm going to take nobodies and I'm going to make them somebodies. He's going to make you lesser. He's not going to make you lesser than, but he's striving to make you greater than. Somebody say he will do it. In Ezekiel 37, chapter 12 through 14, it said this. He said, therefore prophesy. Now think about what you just said. You said he will do it. Now, whether there's challenges or whether it's all good, we're saying he will do it. God says, therefore, prophesy. He's telling Ezekiel, tell them. Because Ezekiel has showed the faith that he believed that God is going to do what he said he would do. So tell them, God the Master says, I'll dig up your graves and bring you alive, O my people. Have you ever asked yourself, if you read this passage, if they were chosen people already, why such a reminder needed? Because sometimes when you're in the middle of a valley, your vision is distorted from victory. I started out with that. And if you lose sight of what God is trying to do, if you lose sight of him, it kills everything. He said, then I'll take you straight to the land of Israel. When I dig up your graves and bring you out as my people, you'll realize that I am God. I'll breathe my life into you and you'll live. Then I'll lead you straight back. He said, now where is he taking them back to? What's happened? I mean, all the promises, all the land, the restoration of their land, the restoration of their temple. The people of Israel had lost everything. They were basically in exile. They had lost everything. So through all of this, he's reminding them that I'm going to bring all of this back. I'm going to restore my people. And it really made me think about where the nation is right now. We're fighting to get back to church. Some people are fighting to get back to work. Some people are fighting to get back to family. I mean, people have been scattered and all these different things. But I feel like the Christian voice, the believer's voice has to be here and understand that God still says yes, but can we give him an amen? Now, I don't believe that this is a hard word, but it's more of a teaching word because it's something to bring our mindset into a situation that, you know what? We don't have to ask where God is because he's in the midst. He's not on the outside. He's right in there with us. And as I was saying, we can feel as though we lack nothing. We can be in opposition or we can be good. But how many are trying to get to the destination where God called you to? How many are trying to step out into the unknown and say, you know what? Lord, I'm going to trust you at your hand. I'm going to trust you at your word. I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to walk through it. I believe that I'm in the middle of a yes. And I don't know about you. I've never had anxiety in my life before until I went through the things with my son. And some of you know the story of my son, brain surgery and all these different things. And there are times when the enemy tries to circle that back, especially when his scans come back up. you know, we go every 3 months, and then you go to every 6 months, and then it goes to a year. And when you're in the 3 months, you can't wait to get to the 6 months. And then when you're at 6 months, you really want to go back to the 3 months. And then you get to the 1 year, and you say, oh, God, can you do it again? See, I believe we get in a place of our life that things that are sometimes over us, and when I find myself getting that anxiety, that's what made me begin to ask this question and say, well, can these bones live? Even in my worry, my anxiety, my situation, I've never had that, never felt it in my life ever before. And the enemy tries to utilize that in order for me to stay. He wanted me to stay stuck, but God wanted me to move past. He wanted me to be quiet and not feel like talking about it because I didn't want to remind myself what I went through, but God wanted me to talk about it so I could share it not only for my own deliverance, but deliverance for somebody else. God doesn't just give sermons on Sunday morning. He gives sermons Monday through Friday. We just have our mouth closed, and sometimes we don't end up sharing them because we don't want no people to know that we deal with mess just like they do. But if we're gonna be believers, and we understand that even when opposition come on, when war, like they said, shout a shout of praise, no matter what's going on, when we can shout in the midst of trouble, we can shout in the midst of everything, whether we're being triumphed or if we already have the victory or not, we should be shouting hallelujah. To what? Confuse the enemy. Well, why aren't we doing that? It's very hard to do it. I don't know if I said this before, but my grandmother would walk through the store and ask people all the time, hey, you received Christ Jesus? It was so embarrassing. Do you know them? Like, and she does it to this day. Anybody in your family like that? I mean... We would go into the grocery store, and she'd be like, excuse me, you received Jesus Christ? And she talked to him. She prayed with him right there. Wouldn't even ask him, you know, the prayer, you know, can I pray with you? That wasn't even a factor. She would just start praying, and now the person, they're not moving at that particular point. But she would do that. And those things, like, felt uncomfortable to me. But now I'm in this place where when you begin living your own walk and your own path, and you see that God is carrying you, you'll begin to notice, like, do we actually share not only what we believe, but can you share it in the midst of a storm? Can I have to ask myself that, man, should I even be preaching right now? And I'm dealing with this, and I'm going through this, and God is telling me, yes, sharing this. We have to break out of this consistency of settling. The consistency of saying, I'm going to just accept good enough, but we still come and praise and worship and believe that God is more than enough. But I don't know about you, but I want us to take a stand today and believe that what God has called us to, even though the waters are going to look boisterous when he calls us out on the water, but I want us to begin believing that the story of Peter, we focus on, he took his eyes off God. Okay, we focus on that. But the thing about it is, he stepped out of the boat. And not only did he step out of the boat, he stepped out into his next season. He didn't just step out of a boat, but he stepped out into his next season. And although the waters became boisterous, it was still peace, but with adventure. I heard a pastor say that faith is not a wishbone, but it's a backbone. We should write a book about that, The Failure of a Wishbone. But it's not about wishing and hoping as you stand to your feet. About what God, what we're just hoping for or believing for. But it's about truly trusting God that he will do exactly what he said that he would do. How many of you believe it? Raise your hands across the building this morning. And in this teaching word, I want to leave you with this. The thing that stood out to me the most in this is not only as God put them back together, they still needed him to breathe life into them. Because when brokenness happens and you're put back together, you're on the verge, you're exhausted. Exhaustion enters in. And you need the Spirit of God to breathe his breath so he can give you new life, not the same one. but new life. And the other thing that stood out is that this story is not about people who didn't know God. It wasn't about people who didn't understand who God was. It was about his very chosen people. And I feel like God is trying to remind us. I feel like this is truly a prophetic word and just been feeling it. That's why I'm paying attention to the teaching, because I believe that God just utilized me this morning like Ezekiel. He said, tell them that God the Master says that I'll dig up your graves and I'll bring you out alive, oh my people. He said, then I'm going to carry you back, because I want to show you that what I gave you already, you're still going to obtain it. The land that I promised you, you're still going to obtain it. I'm going to take you back. I'm going to turn your graves into gardens. I'm going to lift you up out of the low, and you're going to stand to your feet, and you're going to turn from bones to an army for your family, to an army for your husband or for your wife, for your children, for God's kingdom. I believe that God is going to turn it around. Man, if you receive that word this morning and you believing for God to challenge you, to not call you to a place of comfort, but call you to a place of adventure. Because faith is adventurous. It's the unknowing. It's like, God, you want to do something different? It's going to take us stepping out and trusting him even though you're scared. I don't know about you, but I don't feel as though I'm capable of everything. I just know that he's able. And since I know that he's able, I am confident in being a conduit for him that makes my vessel capable, even though I may think that I'm incapable. I believe God wants to create a mighty move in the city all across the world. But I believe the chosen people, Israel, because in this exile, it talks about that Judah, it brought Judah and Israel together. And it brought it all out. And when it brought it together, it was a mighty move. We've been believing for revival. It's here. We're just not talking loud enough. The enemy want to shut us up. He want to divide us. Now we're divided whether you wear a mask or you don't. And all these different things going on. He wants to divide us. But let's just get focused on what God called us to. If he's the author and the finisher of our faith, let's stop worrying about all these other things. We have bigger fish to fry. We have souls at stake. And if you believe we have souls at stake, let's have revival. Let's believe for it, not let it go. If you receive God this morning, we want to hear about it. You can place it on a connection card. If you made a decision for Christ to be the head of your life, you can put it in my decision online. You can share with us on the connection card. But we're going to sing a song. We're going to celebrate on what God has done. Can you raise a hallelujah this morning? Come on, worship team.